Hello and welcome to the Challenges of Faith radio broadcast. First, giving honor to God and the Lord Jesus Christ, you're tuned in to Let's Talk About It, a platform that I have a chance to co-host with Mr. Gary McCants. It's been such a wonderful experience. I'm Dr. Karen, and I'm excited to see what the Lord is saying for us today. Now, on our last segment, I spoke about understanding who God is and what he offers us. And one powerful nugget is that God does not force himself on anyone, but he shows you in different ways who he is in comparison to who the devil is and evil plots. Many of your concerns, traumas, heart issues, and more are found actually in the Word of God. Maybe not the exact name of a medical condition or a psychological term, but God knows all, and he sees all. And many examples of who he is found in the Word of God, including how he works. So some of the things that we know to be problems for individuals, including things that I've gone through and many people who actually do work in ministering to people and being counselors and coaches, we have things that we have also had to overcome. Some of us still have things that we continue to overcome. But what has been so wonderful is when we're in places that you can talk about what's really going on with your life without feeling judged, without feeling like something is wrong, is really, really powerful. That's why it's very necessary for you to always pray, learn to pray, read your Bible, and be in a place of worship that they use the Bible so you can see what's in the Word and hear what it is, because that's the word that stands, and you have to be able to have proof. And having proof of the word is very important. I know I spoke with my co-host about that, and we talked about how people are out saying things to individuals and not backing it up with scriptures, and they are saying, though, that they're saying it according to what God said. So if God said it, you always remember that something in the Word of God can back it up, okay? So now there are many topics that we are witnessing in the news lately. You can't turn on the news without the stories that are touching our lives. And let me say to someone listening that you should monitor how much and when you are watching the newscast. I mean, there is so much news on, and being a person that first started working at home, out of my home office, and then having to rehab at my home almost 8-9 months, I cannot believe how many times newscasts come on TV. You have early morning when you first wake up, then you have the national programs right after your local programs. Then you have a second and third hour of the national programs. Then you have an early evening local news that is before the drive time local news. And then to top it all off, you're going to watch national news all over again, and then you're still going to watch national news before you go to bed. And that does not include all the other stations that show news all day long. And it just is a little bit too much. So let me say that you need to watch that. You need to monitor how much you are looking at and reading and absorbing. Continued bad news does affect what you feel and think. And one huge area for those who are working through depression, it is a constant obsession to bad news. And You keep that in mind. When you watch yourself and others, keep your mind's eye clean before, because it is a part of your soul. Again, I'll say, keep your mind's eye clear because it's a part of your soul. What you see begins to absorb mentally, and next thing you know, it is affecting your everyday life. And you don't need to do that all day long. And one obsession that we find with people who are suffering from depression, kinds of oppression, maybe even drug addictions and mental health issues, they become obsessed unnaturally to bad news. And it really would be nice if all of our newscasts weren't filled with bad news, but unfortunately lately it has been. So just watch out what you're looking in. In between the bad news and the world news, there is some very good things going on, so there's ways for you to concentrate. Let me offer a tip to you that someone gave me years ago, and it really did change my life. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing you should do is not turn on a national news or even local news. At one point, you may have to. It may be because of weather. It may be because of you monitoring your traffic in your area before you go out in the morning, before you go to work, or where you may have to go. But never allow your eyes to do anything but look to God first. Wake up in the morning and give thanks to God for who He is. Thank God for allowing you to see another day. Learn how to worship and adore God in that time when you wake up, because waking up every day is a gift. It is a gift, and you want to be able to thank Him for being able to wake up and ask Him to use you throughout your day and give you your assignments, and you'll see what it is that God wants you to do. And then you go on with your life, because He is the one that gave us life every day, and He is the one that gives us the privilege to breathe His air. All right, let's get to our topic of today. I'm going to keep in the vein of understanding what God has for you, and I like to talk to you about restoration of the households and men. There are so many areas for men especially that have been robbed spiritually, from them being passed on from generation to generation, different understandings that have not been healthy or have not been what He has for you. And in our last segment, we talked about all of the things and the ways that God can compare who He is to the devil and evil, and He gives you a choice by telling you both of those attributes. So now what we're going to do is talk about His promise to us, talk about why He made us the way He did. And so there's many areas that men especially need to be able to pull back and sit back and understand what's going on with life. I work with men and teens in our community that have expressed that they have no ambition for life, no goals other than what they were told, maybe in the streets, and generations of people telling them that they would not be anything in life. And you may have heard this yourself. You may be a man listening, that you had someone tell you, you ain't never going to be nothing, because your daddy wasn't nothing, and he wasn't nothing because his granddad, you know, just on and on, generations of negativity. And so some of the men that I had to counsel, especially teenagers, it was very heartbroken, very heart-wrenching, rather, and could break my heart, because I'm asking a young man, 17 or 18, where does he think he wants to start looking to go to a vocational school or to a community college, to get started for, you know, a master's program or anything. And if the ambition, it used to be that you would hear men, too many men in our community always say, I want to play football or I want to play basketball. And then when that kind of stopped and generations became older and we have generations underneath, everybody wanted to be singing or doing entertainment, things that we see in the media that it appears that this is the only thing that we can do. But there's big things out there for you, and you can have your own business. You can have a dream. It's things you can have going on, but it's necessary just for you to grab a hold to it. And if you don't understand that you have that right, then you may not do it. So I had young men telling me, well, Miss Donald, I never thought that I don't even see myself living to 25 years old. I'm asking you about living at 25 years old, what kind of education and what do you want to do leading up to that point? And they're telling me, I didn't expect to live that long. You know, my brothers, two of my brothers got killed. My friends are getting killed. And, you know, I just expect that that's what's going to happen. And why? Why is that the expectation? So it's not that that doesn't happen to women. I'm not leaving women out definitely, because women have to understand who we are too. However, there are things in life that we have to understand. And one thing that I understand and others understand, that this is not God that ordained bad things when he created men and women. And we do know that man was first. Man was first. He was the first creation. And so being first means a whole lot. So I'm going to read today from the King James Version of the Bible, the first book of Genesis. And the first book of the Bible, which is Genesis, and I'm going to the first chapter. And it's Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 26, and I'm going to go through 28. And the reason for this lesson is to help you have an understanding of who God says you are. It doesn't matter who calls you and says, this is who I think you are. I could see everybody individually and say, well, I believe you're so-and-so. It's necessary for you to know what God says about you to give you a better grip on life and understand that all these things that you have secretly dreamed, these things that you have written down on lists in your private time, your journaling, and you're just closing the book and leaving it all as just written things that's able to be erased with a pencil eraser, and you haven't even taken it to the point of reality. And I'm not talking about a Fortune 500 business. I'm talking about first just living in freedom, and freedom of restoration of who you are, so you can begin to create and expand, take care of your families, so you could be able to be good fathers for your children, giving your children the knowledge that they need and believing that what you have to say is important. So let's look at Genesis chapter 1, 26. It says, and God said, let us make in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So let's make man in our image, is the image of God, and the likeness, making him similar to God, and the character and the likeness. When you're in the likeness of something, you're similar to it. So if you could think of three words right now of who you think God is, positive words of who you think God is. You might say he's powerful. You might say he's a God of beauty. You could say he's a creator. He created the grass and the air, and you could say powerful words. You might not make grass and you may not make air, but you are in the image of God. We are not God. We are in the image of him. So you are a great person just from the very beginning, from creation. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God allowed man to have a dominion or management over the world. Everything that's out there, it is man's responsibility to make sure that life is taken care of, that the fish are taken care of, that the birds and the fowl and the cattle. He gave you dominion over the earth. That's why when we talk about global warming and things like that, it is not God's desire to see this happening, because global warming is affecting animals, it's affecting the fish, it's affecting sea animals, it's affecting so many other animals and people. But we're supposed to be in charge of this. We were supposed to take dominion of this. And we have to have a consciousness to say, what are we going to do about the world and what's happening? And a lot that you're seeing is happening because of global warming. And it is indeed, though, a warning, like I almost was going to say, about what's happening. So the next verse in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So he's made it very clear that he created man. And you know, he created woman, and that was Adam, and that was Eve. He created Adam first, and Eve is taken from the rib of Adam. And that's something you could study. It's something that I'm sure my co-host Gary is going to go into on one of our broadcasts, but it's something to really understand who we are and allowing men to be over things going on in our life. And it doesn't mean all the time that women don't have to step in, because I've talked to women before, and in our groups of women, they'll say, Happy Father's Day. They want all of us to say Happy Father's Day to each other. And I'm not going to say it. I'm not saying Happy Father's Day because I'm not a father. I was a mother to two children by myself. And through God, he gave me the ability to raise my children. And because I turned my children over to God, he also sent me very knowledgeable and helpful, loving, non-abusive men. Nobody touched my children. I made sure that was not going to happen. But he sent mentors into my children's life that could be the man that they needed to hear from. So they heard from my pastor. They heard from my father, who has now gone on to be with the Lord, but he put a lot of his information into my son and other men in our life that a lot of them we're still connected to, but they have been around my children from a young age. And that's because I refuse to say men are just no good and they're nothing, and I want to say I'm a man, I'm not calling you and saying Happy Father's Day. Don't call me and say Happy Father's Day. If I decree that I am the father and I don't need anybody, then that means I've told God that I don't need anybody. So he may have had someone out there waiting to find me to marry me, but I've now vowed that I'm fine, and I'm not doing that. Different lesson. You're trying to take me somewhere, and I will not go. We're going to stay right here. So verse 28 said, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And so, first of all, God bless them. It is huge that God bless them. It's important. And a lot of times we're looking for someone to say how wonderful we are and someone else to give us credit and somebody else to pat us on the back. God already blessed you. And so if you're alone and you feel like no one is giving you credit, if you feel like no one is into your life, no one's offering restoration words and so forth, you can raise your hands and say, God, I thank you because you bless me with my life. And then you said unto me, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now, a lot of people only believe that that was telling you to have children and telling you to have a lot of children and replenish the earth and so forth. But I believe in my heart that being fruitful means that you have a lot of areas that you're able to create from, that you're being fruitful, like you're offering and you're teaching and you're creating and you're doing different things. And multiplying is things that we should expect to happen in our life. If we are touching something and it's God, it should multiply. I remember when I started a ministry, my pastor said to me, if it is God, it will multiply. If it's not God, it will be stagnant. And that is so true because you see it evident in a lot of things. We see it even in businesses. A lot of people create businesses without really seeking professional counsel, without learning the things to do, learning how to do a business plan, and that's being prepared. And you can go on the internet now and find everything that you need to help you do what you want to do. So I believe being fruitful and multiplying does not only mean having children, but it means being able to be a part of the growth of your world around you and seeing things multiply, replenishing the things of the earth, making sure things stay safe, they look good, and it could be planting, learning how to plant grass seed in your yard. And because God didn't say you had to run the whole earth, he gave men this job and women the job. And all of us together, these are the things we are supposed to see. And he said, subdue it, have control of it, over it. Make sure it's taken care of it, watch over it, and to subdue it. That's what it means. And have dominion, again, over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And we used to laugh. I used to laugh with my son because when he was very young, he wanted to catch every insect that he ever found and say, but it should be here, Mommy. It should be here. It's one of God's creations. And I mean, he was very true, and he's still the same man that he was when he was a little boy. But, you know, he laughed at me because while he's saying that, I'm running from the insect that he's trying to show me because he's walking around with a big spider Then you know those ones with those big long legs, they call granddad long leg spiders or something, and he's coming in with big old praying mantis. I'm like, please, I believe God created them, but he did not create them to be sitting in my house. Please put them outside. But that is true. Everything that we see, it has a reason for being there. It is part of the anatomy of the world. And see yourself in a different situation. See yourself as a person that can say, man, God blessed me. He blessed me. He gave me the charge. He gave me the permission. He made me to do this. So what can I do to make things better? Look around your world and say, what can I do to make things better? What can I do to make things better in my office? What spirit do I bring into my office every day? What can I do to make my mother's yard look better? My mother's yard, there's no nice flowers. There's no good grass. She could have plants, and she can't do it herself. Maybe I can do it because God said I can. And just look at things. I just want you to start looking at things a little bit different. Look at it like the things you want to do, even your business you're dreaming of, even your ministry that's deep into your heart, all the things that's going on inside of you. I want you to start learning how to look at it through God's eyes. And if you go back and listen to our broadcast 2 weeks ago, you'll hear that we spoke about what God said. He told you who the enemy is and what he does. And then he said, but I give life and I give it more abundantly. He has promises all in and out the word to really make you grow. And I just want you to start thinking of that. And if you have questions and you have comments about it, I believe you can email through quite a few of these podcasts and just ask a question. You know that one of the ministers that's involved with this platform with Gary McCants, we can start looking into it or getting into it. But just think about it, because you're sitting and you're looking at things and you're saying, well, Karen, I'm just not feeling it right now. I don't know. Karen, I'm here raising my kids by myself. You have no idea what I'm going through. We're living in poverty and listen, I went through it. I had 2 children. I lived in shelters. I had times I was homeless. And when I got a hold to what God had to say to me, when my children were very young, I took it, I stuck with it, and everything I have done, I have grown and grown and grown through the word of God. And I have seen others who just hung on and grasped that word. And some people always say, well, is it necessary for me to be preaching every day? And do I have to sit and listen to somebody teach every day? It's just a way to know. No one is giving you anything that's not real. We're telling you what God said. That's why I told you in the beginning, you need to always have a Bible. You always need to have a Bible. And when a man or woman stands in front of you and gives reference to something, there should be a scripture to follow it up. And you could take the scripture later and you can read it and get some understanding of it, okay? But it's very, very good. And to the young men, I really want to say that a lot of times I'm sure, because I don't know, but a lot of times I'm sure there are things to you in your life, even from teenagers on up, there's things in your life that you don't even express because someone told you, men don't cry, men don't have problems, men don't, I don't know, all the words. I've counseled men who were, by example, one man I counseled was 65 years old, and he was very sad and very tied down, and he didn't know how to break out of his kind of slowful way. He was real slow. He always procrastinated. He went through a lot of things. He's 65, and he had a dream of a business for like over 30 years. So when we got into a counseling circle and we had to work with, and I say we, it was other ministers, we worked with a group of men, and we took them through a healing session, and we talked to them. And when I had a chance to personally counsel him, he told me, the 65-year-old man told me when he was in elementary school in the third grade that someone told him he was stupid. They would not let him be a part of a little league baseball team, and that he would never be athletic. So he left the third grade believing that he was stupid, even though he was truly a genius. Even his business that he wanted to do was just genius. And it was like only, you know, certain things only you can think of to do. He was told he wasn't athletic, so he never put himself into that situation again to be turned down, because he made an internal vow. I will never let nobody else tell me nothing like that ever again. And he never did. And so we're working with him at 65 to show him how to live. Please understand that if you have no one that you can talk to and trust, I want you to stop today. Whatever it is you have listened to this show, I want you to stop today and talk to God. You might not understand that he's really there, but if you start talking to him, you're going to feel his presence. You're going to know he's around you. You're going to feel it in your heart. And if it's easier for you to do it in your house, in a room by yourself, do that, because if you want to cry, if you want to scream, if you want to start telling God what has happened, what you don't understand, this is what I want, this is what the people have done to me, this is, he knows everything, but he wants us to confess to him what we need and where we're going. And I promise you, you will feel better if you continue on that road. So I pray that my prayer today and always is that you begin to embrace who you are and start walking in the light of God. You may be listening to our show at home, at work, in your car. You could be in the hospital. You may say, Dr. Karen, I'm in prison. The word is for you wherever you are. God can move for you and give you hope wherever you are. Even if you're saying, I'm in the prison, even if you're saying, I'm in the hospital, wherever you are, the power of God can come. And you can be within the walls of a prison cell, and the power of God can meet you and start to improve you. You will see miracles happening in that place. There are people that get and come into a power of God opportunity, and next thing you know, they have become great people inside prison. And this year, 2021, there's a gentleman, and I apologize, I don't know what city he is in. I want to say he lives somewhere, or he's in jail somewhere outside of, in the East Coast. I want to say, but I'm not sure if he's outside the Washington, D.C. area. But this gentleman ran for a political office in prison and won. And he is working with people in prison with other kind of reforms, and he's hearing testimonies. He is working inside the prison. I saw it on the news one day and I said, see, that is God. God is looking for us to be big no matter where we are. And he did it. He is a young man. He's African American. And I do apologize. I just thought about it. So I should have been ready to tell you who he is. But just look it up and you will see who he is. And I will mention it to a few people to see if I can get the name back for you or somebody can let you know. I like to pray very quickly. Thank you, Father, for all the men and women who are listening. I pray that the promises of your word take root and start healing and empowerment. Teach the women who is raising a son to show him the way through your word and even assure her of what you are able to do through her. We speak and believe these things in Jesus' name. Thank you again for being a part of Let's Talk About It as part of the Challenges of Faith radio broadcast. And please follow me on Instagram at Dr. Karen L. Donald. It's Dr. Karen with a K, L. Donald, D-O-N-A-L-D. And take time to join my community through my website at drkarenl.com. There will be books coming, classes, and more, and it'll continue to grow. I have new things that's coming on board for the fall, but I definitely want you to be a part of that community. God bless you, and now we're going to hear words of wisdom and life from Gary McCants that are indeed life-changing. God bless you.
Well, thank you, my beloved Sister Karen, Dr. Karen L. Donald. Thank you for all that you shared, so in-depth, using the word nuggets. Welcome back to Challenges of Faith radio program. I'm Gary McCants, and thank you for tuning in to Let's Talk About It with Dr. Donald and myself. As always, I want to acknowledge our listeners, especially our new listeners who tuned in this past Friday from Norway, and regular listeners from each of the 51 states here in the United States, and from 24 of the 46 cities in India, 7 countries in the continent of Africa, and 37 other countries comprised of, are you ready, listeners? I know you are. You've been comprised all along of 95% ladies and 5% men, ranging in the ages of 18 to 22. The men have joined you from the ages of 23 to 27. And then going back to the ladies from the ages of 35 through 44, and ladies and men, ages of 60 plus, and thank you. And remember, today is 1,000% chance of sunshine. I want to go back to the beginning, meaning when our merciful God created us, human and human, you know, known as humans. It's important, apart from secular therapists, counselors, scientists, and teachers, you know, I always want to delve in it from that perspective. That's important. You name the titles, irrespective of the titles. But it's important to know, not guess, from a biblical perspective, where we came from. A clear biblical and doctrinal foundation of our makeup, which will lead to why we as humans are the way in which we are as a result of the fall, meaning why we respond the way we do. We fall down, we get up. We fall down, we get up. We say, do, say things. You know, like your little baby, your beloved parents, your beloved mom, whoever raised you, and they instructed you not to do something like their parent or parents did, like their grandparents, great-grandparents, and go on back. But you did it anyway. You know, that nature of yours, that sin nature, meaning you're not a sinner because you sin. You know, think wrong, say wrong, or do wrong. You sin because that's in your nature, because of what happened with Adam and Eve. And guess what? Don't feel bad. Don't let anybody walk around you and try to make you feel bad. Your ancestors fell down too. Oh, and you did too. You know you did, even today. Here's my challenge, not negatively. 12 hours in a day, 12 hours in a night. You can go 23 hours, 59 minutes, and 59 seconds without thinking wrong, saying wrong, and doing wrong. Try to make it the last second. If you're going to be real, you know it's true. But you know the causative factors and the end result of Adam and Eve's and our actions, yours too. Every single person has come and gone are a creation, not a child of God. You see, the word, not me, not your pastor, not your scientist, but the word tells us in St. John chapter 1, verse 12, write it down for you. You've always heard me say that, continuing. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, and include that from a generic standpoint, women as well, daughters of God, even to them that believe on his name. Did you notice that in order to become a child of God, all of us must go through, guess who? Christ. Christ. Think about it. There's one way downtown, uptown, through town, from town, by town, and it's by bus. But you say, you're going to go by train. Somebody else come along and tell you you can get there by bike. Another person come along and tell you by car. Another person say by boat. There's only one way. By bus. And the same thing as relates to God. Do you know that according to God, not you, not me, in St. John chapter 14, verse 6, our Savior said, Jesus saith unto him, remember now, read the total book, the total chapter. All scripture is not to you and I, but it's for us. We can apply it. But it's clear, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man or woman cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, and I know there are some of you who are one to fight. Oh, you're just ready to get it on. Well, you know, I have this policy for my life. Knowing where I've come from the sojourn of having to communicate with individuals, irrespective of their titles, you always hear me say that. Because when it gets to the word and begin to study from a doctrinal standpoint and all of that, you know, you can go to Hebrew, Greek, and all of that, you still won the fight. Because somebody told you something different, you know, unscriptural. But most importantly, remember that your battle is with God and yourself. Remember, the program is, this particular segment is called Talk About It. So where do we come from? And I know you're ready. I know that you're ready. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 27, and I have the KJV. And you got to be careful, and that's what we'll study later on in coming up in October when I get into doctrinal with a brethren from overseas or abroad. We talk about the various translations and how they came about. And always correlated to history, human history. You know, when there's conflict, and another country is taken over, then all of a sudden the country has a different name. Then all of a sudden the oceans have a new name, the cities have a new name, the towns have a new name. But unless you do your independent research to find out, apart from the motive of the person who's writing, who's talking, you may not know that they had a different name before the name that they receive today. But the word in Igeri says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Think about that. everything that creepeth up on the earth. And I know a lot of people always like to talk about Mother Nature. What's wrong with Father God? What is wrong with Father God? Verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Created he them. Your scientist didn't create you. Your pastor didn't create you. Your imam, rabbi, priest, human teacher didn't create you. And when you really get into the book of Psalms, apart from your parents, you'll see that it was God who created you. You know it's true. So you ready to write it down? I know you are. I know you are. Remember Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 27, letting us know how that man was created and wasn't evolved. For those of you who believe in evolution, I remember coming off a college campus, and I was going home, and I saw this bumper sticker on the car, and it said, my parents are human, sorry about yours. And it was referring to those who are all caught up in evolution, thinking they came from this and that and this and that, and don't want to accept the fact where they really came from. It's kind of like your watch. Had to have a maker. But in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we're looking very carefully, as we will continue to do, because we're going to see that division between man and animal, you know, because the highest beast has no God consciousness, you know, a religious nature that we're going to talk about in a few moments. But most importantly is to let you and I know how we were made in the image and likeness of God, of God. And you're going to be able to see that. And you already know it because you know you. You think you do. You know, all personal, rational, moral being until you get caught. Because you got to remember now, Adam came from, guess what? Dirt. And when you mix dirt and water together, what does it come up to be in? And a lot of times that's what we find ourselves at, all muddied up. But also, you're going to look at the fact of our moral nature as it relates to our thinking. You can find that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 19 through 20. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Remember, I'm having you write it down for you to read later, because we're talking about not only from a person thinking standpoint, but feelings. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And we have a will, all willing. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 through 7. And it's letting you and I know in reality about our moral nature. And then when you correlate it to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 through 24, and Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. And if you don't get it now, just play it back and write it down. Slow the tape down or whatever the case may be. But we're going to see as we head toward 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, how that you and I correlating back to our Heavenly Father. Remember how he's using the word? In verses 26 and 27, a triunity made up of the body, soul, and spirit. And that's because our loving God is a spirit, and you can find that in John chapter 4, verse 24. Well, have you wrote it down? You know, you always hear me say, make sure you got wherever you happen to be around the globe, your tea, your milk, your water, your coffee, or whatever you're eating, whatever time of day happens to be. But most importantly, please write the scriptures down, because the person behind the pulpit can tell you anything. They can twist it. They can misinterpret it. And you got to remember, according to the word, the devil has his own ministers. He has his own children. Do you know where that's at in the book of St. John? And he can misquote scripture. And that's why you hear me say, write down even what I tell you. And sometimes those of you who have been following along for years know I may say something just to see if you're alert. And I know you'll email me and let me know what the end result was. I'm going to let you down. Every man, woman, man on this planet is going to let you down. But you know who's not going to let you down? God. You know, a relationship. Now, respect to how God created us. Are you ready? You know we're actually all the same. You do know that. Respective of your zip code, whether you're wealthy or poor. You know, the word doesn't say anything about a middle class, so don't get caught up on yourself. You know, classism around the globe in different communities where they said this is your status in life. Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 that, guess what? We were all created with three parts. What? That's right. A spirit, a soul, and a body. The word says, and the God of peace himself. And so for those of you out there trying to make God a female God, that's not what the word says. Matter of fact, let me give you an example. You don't mind, do you? I remember on a missionary sojourn being led to a particular state, well-known pastor, had a radio program and all of that. And I was there for 6 months, and I was in prayer. God, why am I here? Please make it real to me. And so I was led for that period of time to go down and fellowship with this pastor as he was ministering to his listeners before he headed to his place of worship. And before I headed to mine with my pastor. And on the day that God gave me clearance to leave, I was listening to the pastor on the radio share with his listeners that were comprised of ladies. He used the scripture trying to make God into a female gender. I waited till he got off the air for a break, and I was in prayer, you know. And I asked him if he could share with me in the scripture where that was or is. He got angry, you know, the flesh. And I respected that, you know, coming from the inside. And as he huffed and puffed and did all of that he had a right to do, he came back. But before he came back, while he was huffing and puffing, he said he was not going to lord who God is over his female listeners. I didn't have to say anything. I knew that the Holy Spirit of God was convicting him. I was just waiting for him to present the scripture to me. Before the break returned to the listeners, he had acknowledged before God, not me. I'm nobody. He's serving God, are you? And he acknowledged before God and got it right with his listeners. And I went on my way. The listeners who've been following Challenges of Faith radio program all of this time have been 95% ladies, was 100% until the men stepped in 5%. You know, men know men. What's this guy talking about? The word. Relationship. The word tells us that we're all created with three parts, a spirit, a soul, and a body. And the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't say at the coming of your pastor. It didn't say at the coming of your husband, your wife, your husband, your boyfriend, girlfriend, girlfriend, boyfriend, the people at your pews, sitting at your place of worship, out there in your neighborhood, out there in the community, out there on your job, in the political world, in the educational world, in the criminal justice world, in the health world, in the social world, all those world systems. At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there are three parts of a man and a woman. And you notice how this word strongly indicates that man is of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. You two ladies. Unless the word of God is specifically speaking to the ladies or specifically speaking to men, generically. And so it's letting us know about the spirit being our inmost part, you know, the inner organ possessing. Listen very carefully. God consciousness. And the reason why that is so that you and I can contact God. And you can see that in John chapter 4, verse 24. in Romans chapter 1, verse 9. And also we're talking about the human spirit, you know, that deep part of you and I. It's because this innermost part that we're talking about, you know, that human spirit, is allowing us to contact God in the spiritual realm. And notice there's not any other creature that was created by God with this third part in them. Do you notice that? Are you sure? Yeshua? And how about the soul? You know, our very self. Like over in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, and Luke chapter 9, verse 25, all for you to write it down and study. But we're talking about that soul, you know, a medium between our spirit, our body, possessing self-consciousness. Guess what? Our personality. Each one of us individually loved by our Heavenly Father. And those of you who can identify love by your earthly mom, your earthly dad, if you were blessed to have both and they loved you. And our soul perceives those things in the psychological realm. You know, I'm not going to get caught up in that right now. I'm going to reserve that for in October and in November. But in Greek, the original language of the New Testament, the word for soul, we can go through psychic and also go to the root word of, guess what, psychology. And that's all fine and good because later on you're going to hear me talk about you should go. But for a believer of the household of faith, make sure that the person you're going to, that therapist, is in a right relationship with God, irrespective of their titles. Our soul is our personality, who you and I are. And with our soul, that's how you and I are able to think, reason, consider. You always hear me use the word ponder. That's what I'm talking about. It allows you and I to remember and wonder. And through that, experiencing emotions, you know, those emotions like happiness, all in love, sorrow, anger, relief, and compassion. You are compassionate, are you not? And with all that, you and I are able to, guess what, resolve, choose, make decisions. That's what it's all about. And so the body as our external part, guess what, is that outer organ possessing world consciousness. And the reason why that is so that you and I can contact, guess what, the material world. And so our body contains the soul, and the soul is the vessel that contains what? The spirit. And so when we're talking about our body, understand it exists in and contacts the tangible things of the material world using, guess what, our five physical senses. And I know before I continue on, there's somebody is negative. Today is 1,000% chance of sunshine. Somebody got up and said, no, it's not because I don't have one of the five of my senses. Did God wake you up? You're alive, are you not? You're not existing, are you living? You see, the body is visible. It's the visible external part of our being. But inside, guess what? It contains the soul and our soul, remember? It's a vessel containing our spirit. So think about it. The triune God. Remember, go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 27. So God's intention for all three parts of you and me. You ready? In the spirit, God as the spirit dwells, in the soul, our self dwells, and in the body, the physical sense dwells. You say, Gary, can you give me some scripture? Sure. St. John chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. Do you notice how God sanctifies us first? You know, set us aside for him. And he does it by taking possession, guess what, of our spirit. But how is that done? Through regeneration. Remember Nicodemus? You know, Nicodemus. You do know who he is, don't you? A rabbi? You do remember how the Lord told him he had to be born again. Not by, he could womb and come out that way. And then second, by spreading himself as a life-giving spirit from our spirit into our soul to saturate and transform, guess what, our soul. And you can see that over in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And last, by enlivening our mortal body through our soul. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11 and verse 13, and transfiguring our body by guess who and what? His life power. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. So my brother in the household of faith, and those of you who may not know him who died for you, God's intention, you know, motive. You always hear me talk about motive and writing about motive. Motive concerning you and I is that you and I would contain and express him, not all about us in our relationship, but him. But to express God, guess what needs to happen? You and I need to be filled with him. And when you and I believe in Jesus Christ, guess what? We receive him, and therefore we're regenerated or born again in our spirit. But guess what? He doesn't want only to fill our spirit. That's just the beginning. Remember when you heard me start off talking about everybody's creation of God, has ever been, is, will be, but everybody's not a child of God unless they go through who? Christ. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, you remember what it tells us? You ready again? The God of peace. Remember now, he's not the author of confusion. The devil is. That's his job. Using men and women and men who don't know the God we're serving, or men and women and men who are believers but not in the right relationship with God, you know, like the prodigal daughter, the prodigal son. But the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly. How does he does that? You know, setting us apart. He sanctifies us by spreading into and saturating our whole being, our whole being, our whole being. Isn't that what you want in a genuine relationship? Don't you want the other person to come to you wholly? And I'm not talking about holding the socks, and I'm not talking about he got it going on, but as a, and I'm not baggage because everybody got baggage. But God wants us to come with our whole being, starting from our spirit, continuing to our soul, and eventually including our body, because by being wholly filled with God in every part of our being, guess what? God can then be expressed through you and me. But we got to cooperate with him, don't we? You know, like that relationship, you got to cooperate with the other person and they with you. You know, respond, surrender, submit. We got to cooperate with God's intention to saturate our whole being with guess who? Himself. He didn't say with just you. He didn't say make some man, some woman, or man, or materialism, or the love of money, your little g God in your life. And so we got to understand and continue to understand. Remember now, where do we come from? How were we created? We're talking about exercising our spirit being the key, because not only does our spirit have the ability to, guess what, contact and have fellowship with God, it's all the place, also the place where you and I know that he lives in us. Remember, because of regeneration, you remember now, don't you? And that's allowing you and I to remember, and that's very important. Remember, we can turn to him and our spirit to live by his life. You can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. Remember Paul? Remember Paul in Romans chapter 7? Remember he made it clear that the things he did, he didn't want to do, and the things he wanted to do, he didn't do. And I know that there's somebody out there during his time and even now, throwing every known dart, taking every known weapon on the planet, took some space weapons or whatever the case may be and just shot them at him. But you know what? He came back in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, and he acknowledged who gave him the victory. Who gave him the victory? He that lives in you and I. We can turn to him in our spirit to live by his side. And by means of, guess what, of our spirit, we can also receive more of Christ every single day. But guess what you and I got to do? Surrender. And from this base of his operation in us, he can then spread into our soul. So the more we receive Christ by exercising or using our spirit, the more God is going to have his way in our lives. to spread into our soul. Now you following me? Are you following the word? You're writing down the scripture? And now you understand that you and I can daily exercise our spirit by calling upon the name of the Lord and reading his word and even praying with God's word to be spiritually nourished and obeying him. And remember from the natural standpoint how you done got all up and began that exercise and over-exercise and, you know, ran quadrillion miles. Are there quadrillion miles? Well, you know, I got to be ridiculous. But I'm sure somebody done ran quadrillion miles and all of a sudden you begin to eat those foods that you knew were nourishing for you. You got all that extra energy and all that. Well, guess what? The more you and I exercise our spirit, the more we allow the God of peace, not confusion, not anger, not all of that to continue spreading in us and saturating us. And then you and I will be able to express God to everybody around us. Remember, the Great Commission. The Great Commission. You know, if you like to read like I do, and I know you do, then you notice. And, you know, when I started off like you, when I remember asking God, oh, God, can I have the wisdom of Solomon? And I remember when I finished up my first 5 years, you know, in school and all of that, and had the audacity to go to God out of Philippians that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. I tell people today, don't pray that prayer. You know, because that pastor behind the pulpit in equipping you, have they told you of the trials that you're going to undergo? Told you that you're either in a trial waiting for one or coming out of one? Remember, you're recognizing where you came from, God. You're recognizing who created you, God. You're recognizing that, whoa, what happened? How did I arrive? Do I got to work the rest of my human days according to God, not according to you and somebody else? But if you like to read, then you notice the terms soul and spirit. That they've been talked about a lot in philosophy books, philosophy classes. People get degrees behind that, magazines. And if you really pay attention to the various religions that be talking about in coming up in October, then you'll see that sometimes it's used interchangeably because people believe they're the same thing. And again, I reference coming up in October. Going to delve into all of that from a doctrinal and theological perspective. But what does the Bible say? Not what would Gary say? Gary don't know what he's talking about. Does your professor? Does your teacher? You know, how many teachers we have on the planet? How many professors? Think about it, irrespective of what topic you're pursuing in school. How many? But what does the Bible say? Are they different? And why does knowing if they're different important? Again, we go back. We never left it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, and the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you notice how this verse is proving the soul and the spirit are not the same thing? Do you notice that it's letting you and I know as human beings are composed of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Remember we alluded to earlier about the Greek and the Hebrew? You know, in Greek, the original language of the New Testament, the conjunction in the phrase spirit and soul and body indicates these are three different things, letting you and I know that the body is clearly distinct from the soul in the same way the soul is also distinct from the spirit. I know. Somebody said, where's some scripture? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God, not the word of some man, some woman, some woman, not the word of your pastor, imam, rabbi, priest, human teacher, for the word of God is living and operative and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And you run around here talking about, I know them. Yeah, okay. God has already made it clear. You don't even know your own heart. Matter of fact, the word says that our heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, remember how Paul said it? The things he wanted to do, he didn't do, and the things he didn't want to do, he did. And he cried out to God for help, and he gave it. Who are you crying out to for help? You're crying out to that man, that woman, that man that came from the same place you came from, the unregenerate man, unregenerate woman. You wonder why they can't help you. And I always share with couples if they want to listen. Irrespective of how in love you are, how addicted you are to your addictions with each other, when God calls your name, do you notice you ain't got the power to keep that person behind? But the joints and marrow in our physical body are closely related, but they're distinct and can be separated in the same way our soul and our spirit can be divided by the Word of God, because it's showing that they're also distinct from each other. And now that you and I have seen through the Word, through your life, that the soul and spirit are different, we need to realize their functions are also different. Remember now, the function of our spirit, the deepest part of our being, is related to the spiritual realm because it allows you and I to contact and receive God himself. Remember how I alluded to twice now, John chapter 4, verse 24, because it shows us our spirit is able to contact God. Remember, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truthfulness. Remember now, you want to go before God, you know you got to go to him with a clean heart, real, a genuine relationship. But yet you want to go to that human, human, all not real, all pretenses. Do you want to know where all that came from? We will, not today. But God being spirit means his substance is spirit. Our spirit is the part of our being that corresponds to God and has the ability to contact, fellowship with, and worship him. You didn't hear me say anything about worshiping some lady? You didn't hear me say anything about worshiping some man? You didn't hear me say anything about worshiping your neighbor, the scientist, the politician, the employer, the doctor, the judge, the law enforcement person, the officer? You didn't hear me say worshiping your children, your child, you know, the little G God. In St. John chapter 3, verse 6, it shows you and I that our spirit have the ability to receive God. Remember now, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And when we're born again, we're born of the spirit in our human spirit, not in our soul. We receive the Lord and he came to live in our spirit. So what about our soul? Remember, three distinct. Our soul is who we are. Remember, Karen alluded to when we first started off as relates to the last time, as relates to somebody come along trying to tell you who you are. There are a lot of people out there doing it. Believers behind the pulpit, believers in the pew, non-believers. What about our soul? You know, our personality, composed of our mind, our emotion where the battleground takes place, our will. Remember, God created you and I with these faculties so that we can express them. You do remember, don't you? You do remember that God's motive, God's purpose in creating you and I with a spirit and a soul was so that we would receive him in our spirit and express him through our soul. Remember over in Luke chapter 1, verse 46 through 47, I know you're writing, but it shows the different functions of the soul and the spirit. And guess who? Mary's praise of the Lord. Mary's praise of the Lord. our Savior's human mom. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has exalted in God, my Savior. Do you notice even our Savior's earthly mom acknowledged that our Lord is her God, her Savior? Is he yours? He's mine. And to magnify means to enlarge or express something hidden for all to see. You know, one of my brother-in-laws used to always ask me, Gary, why do you always say there are undercover believers? Well, there's a twofold. There are believers around the globe who may be spies, but they are believers of the household of faith. And if you're looking at the country that's been, that is, that are, knowing what they would do with believers. And so they have to remain hidden in terms of who they are based on their profession. And then there are believers that don't want anybody to know who they are. And I'm going to talk about that at the end and wrapping up. But first, Mary's spirit exalted in God. Then her soul magnified the Lord. Her praise to God issued from, guess what, her spirit. But it was expressed through her soul. Do you notice that her spirit was filled with joy in God, her Savior? And her soul showed that joy from the magnifying of the Lord. Think about it. She lived and acted in her spirit. Remember now, lips matching the shoes, which directed her soul. And so keep in mind, those of you who have been listening, I know you are, the function of our spirit is to connect God and receive God, and the function of our soul is to express God. Remember? I know you've been listening. And so when we've gone back from the very beginning, letting it be known clearly how that the Bible reveals that God made human beings with three parts, including a spirit. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, I know you wrote it down. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the word not Gary. Jehovah God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And you heard when Dr. Donald had started off and she shared about where the man came from, and she shared about where the woman Eve came from. If you got a fight, take it up with God. Don't take it up with Dr. Donald. I know you're not going to take it up with me because I ain't paying attention to you. But God formed man's physical body with the dust of the ground. Then God breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. And that points to man's soul, which consists of, guess what, mind, emotion, and will. Remember, that's what we've been talking about. You do remember, don't you? That's what we've been talking about the spirit of man, the spirit and the soul and the body. And you look in that and you see how that when God breathed into man, that man's human spirit came into existence. We're talking about our human spirit, that deepest part of our being. And the question, did God create us with a human spirit? Isn't having a body and soul enough for us to exist, really? Remember, this is my fourth time, and lovingly glad to do. Our spirit was created by God so that you and I can contact and receive him. So we have our own specific functions. Only our spirit have the ability to contact God. And we can see this from those verses that I have been sharing and will continue to share, specifically John chapter 4, verse 24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truthfulness. Remember, I just talked about it, and I'm doing it intentionally. Remember now, motive, so that you can ponder, independently study, because you got to remember, in order to contact or worship God, who is a spirit, you and I must use our spirit. you know, it's kind of like likened unto, I use the watch as the analogy of a maker. How about this? It's kind of like likened to the way a radio functions. You know, our spirit's unique ability to contact and receive God, when a radio is turned on and properly tuned, it then can receive the invisible radio waves in the air and interpret them. So our human spirit is like that radio, and God is like the radio waves. Our spirit is a part of our being that corresponds to what God is. So we have to use our spirit in order to contact him. And our human spirit is so important to God because God wants you and I to fill us up with himself, not with ourselves. Remember you heard me share it earlier? And if you're really in tune, then you know, not with me, but with God, under the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that he wants us to receive him. And our spirit is a unique receiver. And so our life in Christ begins with our human spirit. As we see in John chapter 3, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And do you notice how that the first spirit mentioned is the divine spirit? You know, the Holy Spirit of God, and the second spirit is the human spirit, the regenerated spirit of man. And remember, we've been talking about regeneration because regeneration is accomplished in the human spirit by the Holy Spirit of God with God's life, not your life, not my life, not your pastor's life. We're talking about the uncreated eternal life. So in order to be regenerated, to have the divine eternal life, not temporary life because you thought wrong, said wrong, did wrong, we're talking about eternal life with the eternal God in addition to the human natural life as a new source and new element of a new person, you know, a new creature in Christ. And so the moment you and I believe in Christ, Jesus Christ, his son, his spirit enters into our spirit, we're regenerated, we're reborn of God, not of some man, some woman, some man. Remember Nicodemus. And then we receive his divine eternal life in our spirit, and we become his children, not creation, his children. And remember now, as you're reading the word and surrendered unto God through his Holy Spirit, and you're recognizing that the Lord is love and light, peace, rest, comfort, strength, and our shepherd is our refuge, and so much more. I know he's been that way with me. And because he's now living in our spirit, you and I can experience and enjoy all he is to us now, not tomorrow, and not sometime in the future, but now, and knowing all about our human spirit. And that's the reason why we wanted to go back to the beginning, you know, the foundation for our Christian life, all life. But once you and I realize that the Lord Jesus Christ lives in our spirit, you and I need to apply this realization by using our spirit to contact him all the time, not just when you're in trouble. And you can practice that practically every single morning that he blesses you and I to get up, allowing us to see a brand new day, and not just in the morning, but throughout the day. You can talk with him by simply calling on his name, Lord Jesus. And we can also use our spirit to contact the Lord by praying with God's word. An example would be like we see in John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way and the reality and the life. We can pray, Lord Jesus. Thank you for being the way. Thank you for being the reality. And Lord, I praise you for being the life, the real life. Thank you for being my life, my life, my life. Kind of like when our sister Karen prayed, and as we'll do when closing. The next time, as Dr. Karen L. Donald and I head out of the garden, we want to look at the garden. But as we head out that garden, kind of like the way when you head out from that loving home of yours, if it was a home of love, where that loving parent of parents told you about those individuals you were going to meet out there, cold individuals, unconcerned individuals, deceiving individuals, ambitious individuals, individuals who are going to study you so that you can let down your guard, so that you can become a victim of a crime or a victim of a relationship. But when we head out that garden, because, you know, God let it be known to Adam and Eve what was going to happen. But as we head out that garden, we're going to look at the biblical end result of our sin nature, you know, as a result of what happened to Adam and Eve. And then we're going to head toward why we have trials as humans. And then we're going to head to such topics as worry, addictions, you know, sexual addictions, pharmaceutical addictions, addicted to men, addicted to women, addicted to materialism, addicted to money, addicted to titles, all of those things, fear, unforgiveness. And when is it right to judge? We'll look at it when it's right to do that, according to God's word, and healing from God's perspective. You know, I always have said on the missionary sojourn, and now, anybody that come along talking that healing and all of that, listen to me very carefully. I want those individuals to go to every single hospital on this planet, apart from the great physician using their human physician, and apart from using the human physician. But I want those healers to go to every known hospital, every known place where the seniors are, every known home that they've been told where somebody's on their deathbed, bed of sickness, for whatever reason. And I want you to heal that person of cancer. Heal that person of all those diseases and illnesses and COVID-19, everything, COVID-12,000, whatever. Then come back and proclaim. As we wrap up, remember our eternal God. When he calls our name, and our soul is separated from our body at death, you know, which means existing apart from the body. You know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord if you're a believer. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 through 8, you know, on the day of resurrection, having accepted his only son by faith, you know, like the thief on the cross, remember the two thieves? Only one accepted him. Do you notice that thief didn't do any singing? Do you notice that thief didn't do any dancing? Do you notice that thief didn't speak certain languages and all of that? That's the reason why it's important. You never know at the end, wherever the end may be, because God is in control. When that person have turned and accepted our Savior, remember the wheat and tares story? But our soul and our body is going to again be reunited to dwell with Christ in glory forever, not temporary, not temporary, not temporary. Remember how we started today's discussion with Adam and Eve, spiritual persons created by God, and when they fell, which we didn't get to today, we'll get to it the next time, but when they fell, they died spiritually, you know, out of fellowship with God that day, not physically. How about you? Oh, no, I cannot forget the prodigal son. I can't forget the prodigal daughter. Have you forgot who you are? Whose voices are you listening to? Remember now, Mother Eve listened to the devil via the serpent. And Adam listened to his wife versus what he knew God had told him. How about you? And how about me? And is the person that you're listening to, irrespective of who they are they in a right relationship with God, no matter the title, no matter the stature in society or lack thereof? I want to share two stories. You don't mind, do you? I love stories, no lies. The first one was political. While assigned to executive protection, and taking the protectee to function where political people and people and all of that. And while in the room, he wanted to identify me to whoever the people were. And before he can open his lips, they said they knew who I was. And I thought to myself, I never met them before. And he must not have the conversation of name must not have ever come up before, because if it had, he would have never did an introduction. Now, I'm saying that for a reason. Going into a room without ever meeting the people, and they know who you are. They've done the research. Let's get to the second one. I remember a brethren in Chicago sharing going to a function with, you know, global people. And they were on the floor and having a good time. And they met a person, a lady, and they said, the most beautiful lady in the world. And I said, you know, like men, ladies say, you know, they met the most handsome man in the world. And I know there's somebody more handsome than that man. Like, there's ladies that are more handsome, more beautiful than that lady. But I'm just listening to the story because it's their story. But it's an important story. And they said while they were dancing, you know, they looked into the person's eyes and they couldn't find any pupils. And I'm not talking about no students in their eyes. And they said kind of like a little shiver went through them while they were dancing, looking in that person's eyes. They said that the person asked them, before they said this, they said, I know why I'm here. Why are you? The non-believers, the devil, the demons know who you are, believer of the household of faith. You've gone into their room trying to blend in. You don't want nobody to know that you represent Christ. You are a follower of Christ. Remember last time Karen mentioned about, do you know who you are? Or are you what others say you are? A brother of household of faith, not what another human said you are or you were, respect of who comes to your heart and mind. What does God say about you and me too? On behalf of Dr. Karen Donald and myself, thank you for tuning in to Let's Talk About It. And for those listeners who are new, return on Friday with Tayshia Evans, Genuine Connections, Saturday, Quality Time with Patrina Ferguson, Saturday, Watch, Pray, and Lead, with Global Events, Sunday morning, Biblical Teaching in the Book of Psalms, and 6 p.m. guest interviews, 8 p.m. author Fiona Lynch, Out of Egypt on Mondays, Dr. Lisa N. Babbage, and Tuesdays, Senior Pastor Asama Kena. Dear Heavenly Gracious God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for who you are and who you continue to be in my life. We praise you, give you the honor for allowing us to see a brand new day. For those individuals who don't know where they've come from, don't know where they are, don't know where they're headed, may they start at the foot of the cross with you, only with you, recognizing that they are a sinner in need of a Savior. Our Son, know your Son, O God, the only one that made it clear because of going to the cross, taking everything we've ever done, will do, is doing upon him, so that when our enemy of our soul comes before you, as your word indicates, still having access, blaming Christians, blaming followers of Christ for the things we're doing, have done, will do, our Savior steps forth and says, yes, they're guilty, but they're not guilty because everything they've done, is doing, will do, has been cleared at the cross. And thank you, Heavenly Father, loving Father, for saying case dismissed. In Jesus' name, we ask you and thank you. Amen. Amen.